Hi, this is John, by the way, and today I'm looking at 2 Nephi, chapters 26 through 30. And my only problem with this particular grouping is I saw Brother S. Michael Wilcox do something really great, like a 30,000-foot view of all of these chapters, 2 Nephi 25 through 33, kind of the rest of the chapters of 2 Nephi after the Isaiah chapters, 25 through 33. And I thought it was really helpful to kind of see it from a distance. This is his assessment, his kind of perspective on those last chapters. And what's really cool about this is they all center on the coming forth of the Book of Mormon. So 2 Nephi 25, this is from S. Michael Wilcox's, it actually is a DVD called Book of Mormon Gospel Study Companion. 2 Nephi 25, the Jews will reject Christ and apostatize. 2 Nephi 26, first half is the Lamanites and Nephites will reject Christ and apostatize. And 2 Nephi 26, the second half, is the Gentiles will reject Christ and apostatize. So 2 Nephi 25, 26 is the Jews, the Lamanites, Nephites, and the Gentiles rejecting Christ and apostatizing. 2 Nephi 27, here comes the world's second chance. In other words, here comes the restoration. Here comes the Book of Mormon. This is the book that is sealed, right? 2 Nephi 28. What problems will the Book of Mormon solve? Another way to look at 2 Nephi 28 is this is the kind of world into which the Book of Mormon will arrive. And as you read 2 Nephi 28, you'll see all sorts of things about that describe kind of the world that we are in right now. Oh, there is no God today. God has done all his work. And if there is a God, he'll beat us with a few stripes. At last, we'll all be saved. Others will he pacify and lull and cheat. He cheats their souls and leads them away carefully down to hell. I'm no devil. There is none. Woe unto him that is at ease in Zion. All of those things in 2 Nephi 28 kind of describes this is the kind of world into which the Book of Mormon will come. 2 Nephi 29, here is how the world will react to the Book of Mormon. Okay, a Bible. We have a Bible. We don't need another Bible. So they will try to destroy the power of the Book of Mormon. And in 2 Nephi chapter 30, Brother Wilcox's take on that, this world's second chance, the Book of Mormon will take effect. So converted Gentiles will be gathered among the covenant people. 2 Nephi 31 is how individuals should get involved. There's a follow me in verses 10, 12, 13, 16, 17. Follow me, do the things which ye have seen me do. Follow the Son with full purpose of heart. Verse 16. Endure to the end in following the example of the Son. Verse 18. Enter in by the way. I always like that one when they say it that way. So that's 2 Nephi 31. 2 Nephi 32 and 33 are feasting upon the words of Christ, or in other words, listen to the Holy Ghost. Now that is a big picture way of seeing those last chapters, 25 through 33, and I like that a lot because it all centers on the Book of Mormon's going to come forth, and how will the world respond, and into what kind of world will it come. Now, if I wanted to spend some time on one of my favorites in here, it would be 2 Nephi 26. This is where the Lord says the same thing, or the prophet does, four times in a row, just using different words. But I love this. 2 Nephi 26, let's start in verse 24. He doeth not anything, save it be for the benefit of the world. Now, you got to slow that down. If you're going through something difficult, It's so nice to have a verse like this that says there must be a reason, or there must be something God can do with that for your benefit. He doeth not anything save it be for the benefit of the world. He loveth the world, even that he layeth down his own life, that he may draw all men unto him. Wherefore he commandeth none that they shall not partake of his salvation. Now listen to him repeat this thought. Behold, doth he cry unto any, saying, Depart from me? Behold, I say unto you, Nay, he saith, Come unto me, all ye ends of the earth, by milk and honey, without money and without price. Verse 26, Hath he commanded any that they should depart out of the synagogues or out of the houses of worship? Behold, I say unto you, Nay. Verse 27, he's going to say it again. Hath he commanded any that they should not partake of his salvation? Behold, I say unto you, Nay. He hath given it free for all men. And he hath commanded his people that they should persuade all men to repentance. Verse 28, Behold, hath the Lord commanded any that they should not partake of his goodness? Behold, I say unto you, Nay. But all men are privileged the one like unto the other, and none are forbidden. When I look at those verses 24, 25, 26, 27, and 28 in 2 Nephi 26, I just have this impression that the Lord never told anybody to go away. Now we've got to be like him and also be inviting. And then one day, teaching in 3 Nephi, I was struck to see the Lord repeat this, what Nephi had articulated here. So we all know that Jesus came to the new world and preached among the righteous in 3 Nephi 11. And he stayed for 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. And at 17, they all looked at him as if they wanted him to stay longer. And he did. And in 3 Nephi 18, he said this in verse 25. Well, I better start verse 24. It's too good. Jesus says, Therefore, hold up your light that it may shine unto the world. Behold, I am the light which ye shall hold up, that which ye have seen me do. It's kind of cool that one of Jesus's most well-known nicknames is I am the light of the world, but it's one that he shares with us. So in the book of John, he says, I am the light of the world. And in the book of Matthew, John 8 and in Matthew 5, he says, Ye are the light of the world. I am the light, you are the light. And here in verse 3 Nephi 18, 24, he tells us how to put those two lights together. Hold up your light that it may shine into the world. Behold, I am the light which ye shall hold up, that which ye have seen me do. Behold, ye see that I have prayed unto the Father, and ye all have witnessed. Now here's verse 25, which I equate with 2 Nephi 26, 24 through 28. Sorry, lots of numbers. It's as if in 2 Nephi 26, 24 through 28, he's saying, Look, I never told anybody to go away. Now here, after all these chapters he spent with the righteous in the new world, he starts in verse 25, 3 Nephi 18, 25. And ye see that I have commanded that none of you should go away, but rather have commanded that ye should come unto me, that ye might feel and see. Even so shall ye do unto the world. And I put those together. I think that's a great connection, that I never told anybody to go away, and then he says it again when he comes in person. And that's what you have to do to the world. Don't tell people to go away. Tell them to come and to see. Now, as we open 2 Nephi chapter 27, this is the chapter of the Book of Mormon coming forth after the Jews, the Lamanites, the Nephites, the Gentiles will apostatize. So, 3 Nephi 27, verse 1, In the last days, or in the days of the Gentiles, yea, behold, all the nations of the Gentiles, and also the Jews, both those who shall come upon this land, and those who shall be upon other lands, yea, even upon all the lands of the earth, behold, they will be drunken with iniquity and all manner of abominations. Now, I probably saw more drunkenness in the first couple of weeks of my mission than I had seen my whole life previous. But I've learned some things about those who are drunk. And these are, you know, from the Captain Obvious department. They don't know what they're doing. They have no situational awareness. they're not able to defend themselves, which is, you know, ask Laban how that worked out for him. They've kind of given away their agency to their appetites. And so when you see a world described drunken with iniquity and all manner of abominations, that's a great description of the latter days. And that is the world into which the Book of Mormon will come, and the world that increasingly we are seeing now. How do we take the gospel to this world? Well, the Book of Mormon is going to come forth in this chapter. And verse 12 says, three witnesses shall behold it. And then a few more in verse 13. So we have three witnesses plus eight witnesses plus Joseph Smith is kind of like 12 witnesses. 2 Nephi 27:26, therefore I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, yea, a marvelous work and a wonder. And that phrase is kind of code for the restoration. I do remember somebody joking about a Latter-day cookbook called A Marvelous Work in a Blender. I'll have to see if I can write that and stick it on Amazon or something. But no, that's just a joke. Anyway, this chapter 28 talks about the world into which the Book of Mormon will come. And just a couple of verses that I wanted to highlight. I already kind of went through a little bit, but I really was interested in verse 21. Others will he pacify and lull them away into carnal security. I ask my classes, okay, what do we give a baby when they're fussy? A pacifier. And what do we sing to them? A lullaby. So he will pacify, lull them into carnal security, and they'll say, all is well in Zion, Zion prospereth. All is well. The devil cheateth their souls and leadeth them away. And the adverb here is carefully. Carefully led to hell. They don't know it's happening. Now, I confess, as a teenager, I did not understand verses 24 and 25. Therefore, woe be unto him that is at ease in Zion, woe be unto him that crieth, all is well. Okay, and now we'll sing Come, Come, Ye Saints, and really belt out the chorus there. So I thought just saying the words was wrong, and I really needed to, it took me a while to look at the context of the words. He's talking here about people in carnal security. You know, we have enough. Our standard of living is good. Yea, all is well. But they're ignoring or not looking at their spiritual health. Think about the pioneers crossing the plains every morning, having to dig graves for people who died overnight of exposure, and singing all is well when all was not well, when physically it was very difficult. But looking at it spiritually, they could sing all is well. And it took me a while to see that difference. That what's happening here is those who are at ease in Zion, high standard of living, saying all is well. And the opposite of that was the pioneers, where all was not well in Zion, but with an eternal perspective, they sang all is well because they know, and should we die before our journey's through, happy day, all is well. That helped me because it used to confuse me. I thought, Mom, we're not supposed to say all is well. And here it is in our hymn book, right? So now I see kind of the difference. Now, another thing I think that was helpful to me in 2 Nephi chapter 30 is sometimes when we talk about a covenant people, it can sound a little bit like we're special, you're not. And the covenant people, I like to say being chosen people is like being chosen to mow the lawn. You've got a work to do to bring in the harvest. 2 Nephi 30 verse 2, for behold, I say unto you that as many of the Gentiles as will repent are the covenant people of the Lord. It's not about your genealogy. It's about your heart. It's not about your pedigree chart. And as many as of the Jews who will not repent shall be cast off. So it's not your genealogy. Jews that would not repent would be cast off. Gentiles who will repent are a covenant people of the Lord. For the Lord covenanteth with none, save it be them that repent and believe in his Son, who is the Holy One of Israel. So how do you become the covenant people. You repent no matter what your genealogy, pedigree chart, your origins, your earthly origins are. We become covenant people when we repent. And that is how 2 Nephi chapter 30 ends. And I gave you that big picture from Michael Wilcox. So 31 through then 33 are more, you know, how individuals get involved with this marvelous work and the wonder coming forward. And we will talk about that one next time. I hope these little highlights have been helpful for you, and we'll talk to you then.